but very good. All right, go ahead and open up your Bible this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Over the next 2 weeks, we are going to be discussing spiritual gifts and what a variety of the spiritual gifts that God gives to us are. Now, I would encourage you to take some time in the coming weeks and to dig back into the text that I'm giving you this week and next week to get a better understanding of how to develop your own spiritual gifts. Because the more that you develop your spiritual gifts, the more that they can be used for the Lord, for the glory of His ministry. And when we do not use the gifts or opportunities that God purposes for our lives, then we miss out on being used for the Lord. We miss out on bountiful blessings from Him, and we miss out on the joy of being able to help others grow in Christ. All right, if you found your text this morning, please go ahead and stand with me, and let's start today in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Lord and Heavenly Father, again, just thank You for this time that we have to gather together. Please quiet our hearts and our minds to everything else happening around us in the world today. Help us to concentrate on Your Word. Help us to grow to be more like You today. In Your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'd like to encourage you that when you go back and study the text from today's sermon, please also read these two parallel passages, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12, to get a better understanding on how to use your spiritual gifts in the ministry of the church. And when we gather for worship, we are here not just to listen and get some encouragement, but we're also here to learn. And sometimes, though we exist in the room, I know I've done this myself, I've tuned in to the message at times and then tuned out of the message at times. And it's important for us to stay tuned in so that when we walk away, we remember what it is that we have learned. Imagine we did that in school. I have done that in school. I took algebra twice. But imagine we do it in school and we sit through hours and hours of study and we don't really learn anything at the end. We look back, we have to take the class all over again. And it's important for us not to waste the time, but to learn. Here at Campbell Bible Church, we make every effort to support you in your learning. Beyond providing the live messages, we also offer visual helps through slides. We offer note-taking supplies in the bulletin. We sometimes offer fill-in-the-blank notes like we have during this series. And we also offer the messages recorded online so that if you forget or if you miss something, you can always go back and listen to it again to get caught up in your study. If you don't have a notebook and you want one, we've got 50 different varieties in the Resource Center if you want to get one today. Well, please make the effort to learn and grow from the time that we have together, the time that you spend in God's Word during the week, the time that you spend here through the worship service. Learning and growing will always benefit you, always. Now, this week I was reminded of Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8, which says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Tracy and I were recently at a pastor's retreat, and they had something called a charcuterie feast. I don't know if anybody's seen a charcuterie board thing before. So I thought it was just going to be like little grapes and like cheeses and stuff like that. But what they did is they cut these giant wood planks off because it was a camp. So they were trying to outdo anything you've seen before. So they had these giant two-level planks that were basically the size of tables. And it was covered with different meats and cheeses and smoked salmon and fruits, and there were even vegetables that looked good, and there were desserts, and it was just like a splendor for the eyes as I looked at it. I can't forget it. It's just a memory stuck in my mind of how enjoyable it was. It was memorable. And God's word offers to us even more enjoyable bounty for us to delight in. I can approach it and I can indulge in it and I can delight in it and enjoy it. Or I can look at it and say to myself, it's no big deal. It'll be there tomorrow. And the problem is when I look at it and say it's not a big deal, I don't remember it. I don't enjoy it. I don't dig into it and say, wow, look at all the things that the Lord has done for me. It's so good. I don't taste and delight and learn in what God has for me. I would encourage you today, taste and delight in what God has for you today and this week as in your private time with the Lord. Well, as we have discussed in the last few weeks, spiritual gifts are part of God's design for the church. Now, every believer is provided with their own spiritual gift to be able to be used for God's glory in the ministry of the local church. Now, many of these spiritual gifts we also use outside of the church, but they are given to us for the express purpose of helping to accomplish the work of God within our local church. Let me say it one more time because it's important. They are given to us for the express purpose of helping to accomplish the work of God within our local church. Now, again, our spiritual gifts are blessings that God is giving to us that we didn't ask for. And when we use our spiritual gifts, God blesses our faithfulness. And as we develop our spiritual gifts, so God uses them in service to Him to both develop our lives for His glory, as well as others inside of our church ministry. Now, we also discover our purpose in ministry many times through our spiritual gifts. We discover our purpose for our ministry, for what God wants us to do in His ministry. But we also discover what God's will and purpose is in our lives through our spiritual gifts. If you want to know what God's will is or what God's purpose is for your life, work on discovering and learning what your spiritual gift is, because these will complement each other. They won't go against each other. Your spiritual gifts will help you in life to find God's purpose for your life. Now, there are two questions that we should always be asking ourselves in regards to the purpose of spiritual gifts. Number one, how can I be served and challenged by other members of the church body? How can I be served and challenged by other members of the church body? Now, I'm not even talking about the leadership. I'm talking about just the congregation, the laymen of the church. How can I be served and challenged by other members of the church body? And number two, who in the church and outside of it can benefit from my abilities and resources? Who in the church and outside of it can benefit from my abilities and my resources? Now, these are very important questions, and we're going to be considering these more than once in our study of spiritual gifts. Now, look back with me at our text, and we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. But I want to backtrack a little bit, and we're going to go to verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, what does grace stand for? G-R-A-C-E. What does it stand for? That's correct. Very good. Gold star for Kira. God's riches at Christ's expense. So grace, we have all accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, then we are a benefactor of God's grace. And grace is when we receive kindness without earning it. Now, God gave us kindness through providing His Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, even though we didn't merit His favor, and even though we couldn't earn it in any way that we did. Christ's gift is His sacrifice leading to our salvation and leading to the work of sanctification in our lives. His gift is also the church and leading to the work of sanctification in our lives. Now, the pillar of truth is the church. Within His ministry, the church, He provides for us in so many ways, including through spiritual gifts. Now, verse 8 says, therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now let's jump forward to verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now this is a list of spiritual gifts. Notice that they're all different, because we all receive different spiritual gifts. Now, some might be in the same category of types of gifts, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, but all of them are tailored to how God wants us to use them in the context of his ministry. Now, spiritual gifts are really abilities. They're abilities that God gives to his children. Now, sometimes the Bible refers to these abilities as talents, but I want to think of them more as abilities. Now, each ability starts off raw. It's small, it's minute, and it only grows and blossoms into something when we put the time and effort into using it and developing it. It takes time to develop our spiritual gifts, and we need to learn how to listen to the Lord and how to respond as he directs. And we need to learn the best ways to develop our gifts, and then we should implement them. And notice here in verse 11, Paul says that Christ gave the spiritual gift to some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Now, that doesn't mean that when these people first started using their gift, that they were automatically a pastor. Like they had everything together and they were like, oh, I got this gift. Boom, tomorrow I'm a pastor. That's not it at all. They were novices at first. In fact, in the very beginning, they would have no idea that they had the spiritual gift that they had. It wasn't until they started really working on it and using it in the church that it started to develop. Now, in order to develop their gift, they would, as we would, have to make the effort to put it to good use within their church ministry. Now, as they used it, they would get better at it and develop their gift even more. Now, there is a difference between a spiritual gift and a talent, even a natural talent. Talents are typically things that we practice at. And as Jerry says, the more that you practice makes better, not perfect, as we're reminded. But even as we practice in life, we can get better at it. And talents are something that we might use in a job, or we might work on our talents within a game, or even in our knowledge in life. It might be talents in music, or just different things that we might face, talents in sports. Most anything can be practiced over and over to become much easier to achieve. Now, you may have a talent to be a teacher, but that does not mean that that is your spiritual talent. That doesn't mean that it's your spiritual gift. You may be good at teaching, but that does not mean that it's something that Christ has purposed for you to do in his ministry. And don't make the assumption that just because you like something or just because you're good at something, that God wants you to use that as a gift within his church ministry. Now, just because we are good at something doesn't mean that God wants us to pursue it or even to seek to use it as our life vocation. God points out specific things in our lives to pursue, including through our spiritual gifts. Now, something I find interesting that sets apart a talent from a spiritual gift is that when we work on developing our talents, we see a benefit over time. You know, we start off on that talent and we're really terrible at whatever it is. We'll say it's sports or something, where we might be really terrible at it first, and it might take a long time before we start seeing an actual benefit from it. And then once we start benefiting from it and we start getting much better at it, then we're like, oh, okay, we can use this. It'll be nice. It'll be successful. And then we can see the benefit from using it as we profit from it. Now, think about it this way, actually. Think about it from playing a musical instrument. Let's say you want to learn a musical instrument, and we'll say the violin. Because the violin, when anyone starts playing the violin, if you've ever been around anyone that just started playing the violin, it hurts to be within listening distance of that person. It hurts to be the next door neighbor to the kid who's learning the violin in the neighborhood. It doesn't benefit anyone outside of that person to be within listening distance of them practicing the violin. And it takes a very long time for them to get good enough. But once they get good enough, then it can start profiting people to actually listen to the violin because it starts getting pretty. Well, that talent, once it's developed enough, it can be profitable. But that's not how it works with our spiritual gifts. When we start using a spiritual gift, God is literally working through us to use that gift, even in the very beginning, even when we don't know that we have the spiritual gift in the first place. And as we just start to develop it, God is working through us. God is blessing us as we use it. God is using us in the service of Him. We are profiting from the very beginning. Even when we're in the very beginning stage and we don't even know exactly how we're doing, even when we're not very good at using it, God is still blessing us and He is profiting us all throughout using it. And God builds on us and He matures that gift and all that while bringing us blessing in the process. Now, what is the purpose of a spiritual gift? And we see that in the next few verses. Look with me at verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, the purpose of a spiritual gift is to help equip Christians for the work of Christ's ministry and for the edifying of the whole church body. As we are to use these gifts as we grow and mature to become more like Christ, so that we are no longer deceived by the world's philosophies and move back and forth with what we believe. Now, these spiritual gifts help to ground us more, because the more that we develop them, the closer that we are going to be drawing to the Lord. And the more that we grow, the more that we will use these gifts in the church to help grow. Look with me at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we, as members of the church and the whole body of Christ, are purposed to be together as God has set us, to be used for His purpose in our individual churches, and we are all to do our part, which means that we are all to use our God-given spiritual gifts to bring edification to the body. Consider with me 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So essentially, Peter is saying here, listen, if God has given you a spiritual gift, don't waste it. Instead, use it. Don't look at your gift as if it's nothing. Give it the time and effort that it deserves. Think of it as the God of the universe just gave you an opportunity to do something specific for Him. Give it the honor that it's due. Now, again, I can look at it as it's no big deal, but if I do that, I'm not only wasting my gift, I'm robbing the church of what God has designed for His ministry. Now, today, I want us to just consider two gifts here in our text. And next week, we're going to look at all the other texts that and draw out the rest. So let's look back at verse 11 to start getting the idea of what these spiritual gifts look like. Now, again, each gift is given with a singular heading. But make note that each of these headings are basically categories. And inside of these categories, there are just tons and tons of opportunities, so many that it's not practical to list. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So the first one I have here is pastors, or your Bible might say shepherd. Now, the spiritual gift of shepherding is that when developed will provide opportunities to oversee, to train, to spiritually feed, to lead, and to counsel, and to nurture. And there are many more things actually within that. There are so many more things that are within that you would see as you're developing your gift. Now, those with the spiritual gift of shepherding will have the desire to keep the scripture at the core of their lives and will not seek to profit from it or make a name for themselves. Now, anybody who was here from the last Family Night Bible study will notice a difference in that to what we've seen a lot of the false teachers in the world today who come out and say they're a pastor, just send them $10 and they'll send you the gift of salvation. That is not someone who has the spiritual gift of pastoring. They will seek instead to nurture and help and grow those within their care. Now, we also see the spiritual gift of evangelism. Those with a spiritual gift of evangelism will be those who passionately want to see other lives changed through God's gift of salvation. As they develop their gift, they will become more and more focused on setting all other things aside to see people saved. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the apostles, prophets, and teachers that we have in the rest of this verse. Now, there are a total of 18 to 20 spiritual gifts, but within those categories of spiritual gifts, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different ways that God has designed for people to serve him and his church. And every gift is designed to help grow and nurture the body of Christ. Therefore, each gift is important and necessary for the growth of both the local church and the body of Christ. Now, there is a spiritual gift of serving, but every spiritual gift is connected to servanthood in some way. Servanthood, or developing a servant's heart, is when we allow God to use us in whatever capacity that he wants for the sake of his ministry. It is a very humbling pursuit to follow God and to let him lead. Now, if you're a Christian, then God has provided for you a spiritual gift. You may not know exactly what that gift is quite yet because it has not been revealed to you. The way that your gift is revealed is by being involved in your local church ministry. Now, remember, when you first received your gift, it'll be raw. It'll be something small. You may not even notice that you have it. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes practice to develop your gift. But God has, again, purposed for us to do so. Be patient and let God do great things with you if you're willing. And when you start to develop and understand what your spiritual gift is, you will see God working in your life and truly growing you. You will see other aspects of your life growing and connecting to your spiritual gift. Now, you might ask, where do I start? Where do you start to develop and understand what your spiritual gift even is? Start by serving. Everyone who starts looking to develop their spiritual gift will start in serving. And as you serve in the church, God is going to show you different elements inside of your serving that he wants you to more attach to. And through that serving, you will discover your spiritual gift. Now, there are times when our pastor or our spiritual leaders identify our spiritual gift before we do. For those who are members of Campbell Bible Church, I've worked with a lot of you behind the scenes working on different ministries, and I have discovered at least one spiritual gift in each one of your lives. If you want to know what it is, you're welcome to come talk to me about it. We can have a discussion about how you can develop it even. But when considering our spiritual gift, it is important to remember that every gift has a connection to what we are supposed to be living out in our Christian walk every day. For instance, the spiritual gift of faith. We are supposed to live by faith. We're already supposed to live by faith. We are to walk by faith. The spiritual gift of serving. We are to be servants of Jesus Christ. The spiritual gift of evangelism. We are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Even the spiritual gift of pastoring. We are all priests in God's kingdom, and we are all called to minister for the sake of others. Now, you see, our spiritual gift is simply a divine help to make what we are already doing even better. Don't use your spiritual gift as an excuse. Use it instead to help where God intended you to help. Let God open up the door of possibilities in your life and shape his design over your own design. Embrace your gift and use it for God's glory. Now, if someone were to ask me, I'd say that there is not one singular gift that is more important than someone else's. Because as we've discussed, God puts us in all kinds of places in our lives. God puts us in the church that he wants us to be in. He puts us in the home that he wants us to be in. He puts us in the job that he wants us to be in so that we can use our love for him to reach others and to nurture others in each different section that he has for us. So it is with the spiritual gift. God has given you the specific gift that he wants for you to nurture and cultivate inside of the ministry of his church. And as we've discussed, we're all knit together. We all function together different ways. There's not going to be one person that's doing everything and then everybody down here is going to be doing a couple of little things. We're all going to be perfectly aligned together. Like all the parts inside of an engine that have to be there, they all work together in order for the engine to move. So it is in the church. Every gift is important. It's important for us all to be using our spiritual gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been learning through this study, not just the spiritual gifts, but as we go back to what we believe here in the beginning, I've been learning so many new things. And growing up even in a pastor's home, I am well aware of what the Christian's design is and different standards that the Bible has for us and such. But there are things that I didn't quite realize until I started digging into God's Word. And as I've been digging in to see what the purpose of the church is and what the purpose of the church member is and how God has designed, as we've seen through so many texts in Scripture, of how they interchange, it has changed my mind and my understanding as to even how my life is set up in some different ways. And I'm going back and I'm saying, Lord, am I supposed to be doing it this way? Should I be doing it this way instead? I would encourage you, if you've missed any of these weeks, go back to where we started. I believe it was October 16th, I want to say, at the beginning of our reconnection to what we believe, so that you can be getting everything as they flow together. There's so much that we've been learning. I know that God really wants us to grow in this area. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your spiritual gifts. We thank you, Lord, that you, our Heavenly Father, has chosen each of us to use your perfect gift in our lives. Lord, we thank you and we come before you, Lord Jesus, and are very thankful that you have provided for us something perfect for us to have in order to increase our ministry here in the church, our ministry here in life. And Lord, you continue to show us that you not only want to bless us once, but you want to continue blessing us. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to encourage us. Help us to seek your face. Help us to see your blessings and your grace in our lives as we seek to honor you and to serve you and to know you on a much deeper level. Lord, we thank you for your bountiful blessings. I pray this week that we would go out, we'd go back, and we'd study our text even from this week and the last several weeks and just consider what your will is for our lives. Help us to seek that. Help us to find the joy in what you want for our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would not put our focus on what we want. But I pray, Lord, that you would continue to change our hearts and help us to see what you want for our lives. Help us to make that our focus. Lord, I pray for all of us this week that you would help us to fight back against Satan. I pray, Lord, that as different temptations and as different worldly opportunities come into play, Lord, let us push those things aside and instead follow you. I pray, Lord, that we would live by your grace and live by your understanding instead of our own. Help us, Lord, to know you. Help us, Lord, to get to know you on a much deeper level. I pray, Lord, this week that our time, our personal daily time with you would be very important to us. Let us look at it as the banquet table that you prepared before us. Let us enjoy it and understand it and learn it. I pray, Lord God, that we would use your word to grow ourselves. And we just thank you, Lord, for your continued blessings in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we're dismissed today, let us go out, be ready to tell the world about you. Be ready to share your love and your goodness. And be ready to serve you in whatever capacity that you would want for us in our lives. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.